Merry Christmas. Thank you for being here with us tonight, Christmas Eve 2021, and we are coming to you online from the sanctuary here at Liberty Baptist Church in Blanchard, and just thankful for those who gathered. A few folks have come to help us put on the service tonight, and so we're thankful for the Dwayne and Brenda Quarter, Virginia Rupert, Trudy Weaver, Krista and Gary Kunz, and of course my wife Greta. I wouldn't know what to do without her. We're thankful for her. This evening, I also want to make an announcement to make sure I got cut off during the call today. But we are participating in the Kentucky Disaster Relief with Forest Baptist Church. And so if you have anything that you would like to bring to drop off for that, you can do that by coming to the church on Sunday between 12 and 1. We'll be loading the vehicles that will be going over to Forest Baptist. Or if you have a donation, you can make that into the lockbox out by the gym doors. Just make sure it's in a special envelope for the Kentucky Disaster Relief. But I wanted to make sure that folks knew that we are participating with that, and that the deadline for that will be this Sunday. Okay? All right. We're going to have our first hymn. Those of you that are here with us, let's stand and sing hymn number 251, "It Came Upon the Midnight Clear."
Just bending near the while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth to Galilee, to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, in heaven and on earth, and peace to those on whom his favor rests."
When the angels had left them and gone to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been, they'd been told about this child, and all they had heard. They were amazed that the shepherds said to them, but Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
On this most holy day, we light all four candles in our Advent wreath, and we are reminded of the expectation, preparation, proclamation, and revelation of his coming. Now we light the Christ candle. We rejoice that the promise of God has been fulfilled in the coming of the baby born in a manger.
Let us pray. Gracious and mighty King, we celebrate your goodness as to us we join the triumph and joy of Christmas. As your love has been revealed in all of its fullness, we pray that love may abound in our hearts during this special day. Grant us the Spirit of Christ, that we may live in the fullness of his character every day. In his name we pray. Amen.
Our call to worship tonight is Luke chapter 2, verses 16 to 18. So they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. All that heard them were amazed. Greta.
One of them has been the theme of light and how Jesus has brought light to our world. The other has been a theme of a wonderful message and how after 400 years from the last prophet in the Old Testament, a baby's cry brought such a wonderful message to us around 400 years later. So what I have for you tonight is a reading called Christmas is Costly. Parents and small children, if you're a husband, you may know that's true too. This is a different kind of costly. It cost Mary and Joseph the comforts of home during a long period of exile in Egypt to protect the little baby. It cost mothers in and around Bethlehem the massacre of their babies by the cruel order of Herod. It cost the shepherds the complacency of their shepherd's life with the call to the manger and to tell the good news. It cost the wise men a long journey and expensive gifts and changed lives. It cost the early apostles and the early church persecution and sometimes death. It cost missionaries of the Christ untold suffering and privation to spread the good news. It cost Christian martyrs in all ages their lives for Christ's sake. More than this, it cost God the Father his own Son. He sent him to earth to save men. It cost Jesus a life of sacrifice and service, a death cruel and unmatched in all of history. Is Christmas too costly? Well, it's far too costly, if we put human imposed limitations on it. It is far too costly if all that it means is gift exchanges. If all that it means is bright lights and beautiful decor. If all that it means is the millions spent on the commercialization of Christmas. If all that it means is a holiday. It isn't too costly. Christmas is never too costly. But only if it means the hope of the world, if it means the forgiveness of sin, if it means peace among men, if it means joyous singing. But does Christmas cost us enough? Are you giving enough of yourself for Christ and the world who needs you this Christmas, through the year, through your life, the life of God?
Virginia, if you'd come. And her tape is in the tape player, ready to just push play.
Ago, Gary Kitchen, and he sang the high notes. So, if I have problems with the high notes, I'm sorry. I'll try my best. Okay, Krista. Mary, did you know? Thank you. your baby boy is Lord of all creation. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy was heaven's perfect limb and the sleeping child you're holding is the grave
in communion. And we do that on Christmas Eve. Some folks say that maybe we shouldn't do that because it's a commemoration of his death, but of course you have to live before you can die, right? And so we celebrate the birth of Christ tonight with a celebration of communion. And so whatever it is that you're using for bread and whatever it is that you're using for drink, the purpose is to remember that Christ lived, that Christ was alive, that he was fully human, and that he died and rose again on the third day. And it's that belief, that faith in Jesus Christ, whose birth we celebrate tonight, that gives us our salvation, that allows us to have hope of an everlasting life. As we take the bread and we remember the body of Christ, the fact that he was a small baby, that these nativities that we see around all over depict a mother and father with a small infant child. And the fact is that he was born into this world as a regular human baby. Every one of us came into the world the same way that Jesus did. And so we just praise him. And as we take the bread and we remember his body that was broken for us and that it was born on this day, let us take and eat in remembrance of Jesus Christ. The juice that we have is in commemoration of the blood that pours through the veins of Jesus Christ. He had fully human attributes, and so when they cut him, when all of the things happened that caused him pain, when they pierced his side as Isaiah had forecast, blood poured from his body. The same blood that pours through our veins, the same blood that we share as human beings that makes us human, went through his body. And so tonight, as we take this communion and we drink this juice, let us remember the blood of Christ that was shed at Calvary, that we might have hope of an everlasting life. Take and drink in remembrance of Jesus Christ. We're so privileged to be able to celebrate communion, to be able to remember the power of God. And we're thankful for that opportunity. And we have a tie that binds us together. And we sing at least the first verse of that, usually when we have communion on Sunday mornings. But today we aren't going to sing that. But I want you to remember, as you are wherever you are tonight, some of you are here in the sanctuary with me. Others are at home in your living rooms. Some are maybe at families traveling away from your home, but with other loved ones and family members. But just remember that there is a tie that binds us together as Christians. We celebrate that tonight, too, as part of this Christmas season. Churches all across the world are having an opportunity to celebrate Christmas, to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. What a privilege. What a privilege it is to do that in Blanchard, wherever it is that you may be tonight. I'm going to continue on with the sermon this time. We have a message, and we've been looking and working through something called the promise. And it was a promise that Isaiah had given to the Israelite people. It was a promise that Jesus had given to his disciples that God had made to Abraham. There were a lot of promises that God had made. And so we've been looking at this in the context of our Advent season and looking at all the different themes of hope and joy and peace and love. And tonight, we're going to be looking at the final culmination of all that, and that is the birth of Jesus Christ. The day has finally come. The people are about to receive the King that God had promised them. And what a joy it is for all of us as we prepare to celebrate this Christmas, to celebrate the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. The last 4 weeks, as I said, we've been celebrating the Advent season as we've remembered and we've been waiting for this night. This is something that we've been anticipating to be here in this place. And in some ways, it's different than what we had thought it would be, much like what the Israelite people had to endure because they thought they were going to be getting a warrior for a Savior. And instead, they got to see a peacemaker. The powerful promises that God had made to his people of hope and of peace, that there would be a government that would come that would leave folks in peace, that they would restore the fear of God, that they would restore this relationship that God had created with humanity in the Garden of Eden. You see, Advent is about anticipating the coming of the Messiah to rescue the world. And you and I, as we let this Advent wreath over the last 4 weeks, as we celebrated with our Christmas trees and all the candles and the decorations, they all mean something. They all have something in common, and that is anticipation of Jesus' return. As Christians today, that's what we are anticipating. Is when will he's going to come? When is he coming back to make things right? So Christmas is still marked by expectation in every way, shape, and form, just as it was for the Israelites at the time of Jesus' birth. It always has always been about excitedly waiting. You know, Christmas was always a time of happiness and joy in our family. And we didn't have a lot, but we enjoyed each other's company, just as if, as most of you do with your families and your friends. And I used to anticipate as a child, I can remember the feeling of anticipation, of wanting to get things going, to have the candy plate put out, to put out the cheese and the pepperoni and all the crackers and all the snacks and things that weren't common in our house, but that happened on holidays, that happened on Christmas and Thanksgiving. And there was an anticipation of my Aunt Josetta and Uncle Cecil and my cousins Clay and Kara coming in from Ohio. And there was anticipation of my brother Curtis and I getting to go over and visit with my dad, my grandmother Jean Davis and George, my grandfather, and my aunts and uncles. Anticipation. There was a desire for that to happen. It's Christmas time. We should anticipate. We do anticipate and long for something good to come from this celebration. We long for the return of Christ. We long for that, just as the people did at the time of Jesus' birth. You know, Christmas is wonderful so many reasons. The time spent with family, the food that is shared, the cold weather. Some people like that. I'm not sure. I think I could do without it a little bit, but, you know, God has me where he wants me to be. How about the lights? How many of you enjoy just driving around and looking at the Christmas lights? Light is a theme of Christmas. Light is a part of Christ. There's so much to look forward to, and it makes so hard for us to wait. The first Christmas ever was also an event that was a long time coming. The people of God were familiar with these promises that had been given to them hundreds of years before any manger and angels and wise men or stars. They trusted God's faithfulness and believed that he would come through. And finally, in the tiny city of Bethlehem, a young couple named Joseph and Mary found themselves in a farm shed behind an inn that was too full to accommodate even a pregnant woman. It was there, in a stinky manger, that the Savior of the world was laid. From the God of the universe, the God of the universe, to a baby swaddled in a manger. There is more than one account of this miraculous event in the Gospels, but today I want to visit this moment in time from a different vantage point. I want to see what we can learn from the account that does not have the traditional characters involved or the familiar storyline. So you're not going to hear Luke chapter 2 tonight. John chapter 1, verse 9. He was in the world. I guess we have 10 and 11. But John chapter 1, verse 9. Let me pull that up because I want to get that verse in particular. I don't know why I did that. So I guess even when I do things by myself, I still mess it up. So that's all right. We got a Bible. How about that? We have a Bible. God's word is right here, and we'll find it. In John chapter 1, verse 9, the word says this. It says, "The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world." That's what the Bible says. So it talks about light. This version, the way this version of the Christmas story goes, there is a light that enters the world. The light was born into the darkness. John talks about it. And he says that this true light that gives light to everyone came into the world. And so one of the things that we have here in the sanctuary tonight are these lights that we're going to light up here in just a little bit. But those of you that have been to the church are aware we've used these before. But a flashlight would do the same thing. We could use the flashlight. What did this light do? What was the purpose of the light coming into the world? It was to shine into the dark corners of the world so that God could see. The book of Isaiah speaks of a day that a light would dawn on the people who were living in deep darkness. This light would bring hope to a hopeless situation. There would be a light that would bring peace to people who lived in chaos. And the light would bring joy to a world that was miserable. Does that sound familiar? Are we any different than the Israelite people? This light brought love to a human race that had forgotten about God. And Jesus was known in the scriptures as the light of the world. Like any other light, he came into the world to accomplish certain things. He came to reveal the darkness in every corner of our lives and in every corner of the world. Not to shame us, but to heal us. He also came to shine a light on the right way to live. So he wanted to stand as a beacon. And I wanted to have two of these. But you know, when you go to the airport, you see the guy out there with the lights, right? Telling you which way to go. God is standing. He sent Jesus as a beacon, as a light, to tell you how to walk. What is the way that you need to go in order to get to where you need to be? He gives a warning, John does, in this passage about the dangers of missing who this true light is, because sometimes we can be in, you know, Greta has this thing, she says that I'm oblivious sometimes. Something could be right in front of me and I would still not see it. You know what? That's human life. That's humanity. God had to send Jesus into this world and we still don't recognize that he was the Savior. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But let's look and see what he says is the warning if you miss it. If you don't see Jesus as the light of the world. He was in the world and through the world was made through him. The world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. You see, as Jesus came into the world, a world that was actually created by him and held together by him, the world didn't recognize him. They were oblivious. We're oblivious. The people that we live with, our neighbors, our friends, some of our family, are oblivious to the need for Jesus Christ. And that's a tragedy. Because though so many are looking, every single person in the world is looking for peace. They're looking for hope. They're looking for joy. It's right in front of their face. But they won't take hold of it. The majority didn't recognize him then, and they don't recognize him today. The signs could not be more clear. Even if he had a sign around him and said, "I am the Messiah," do you think they would have believed? No, because they were looking for a warrior. The light that came into the world in Bethlehem. He came to rescue his fellow Jews and to take the hope to the ends of the earth, but they didn't accept him. His life was a gift that was never received. A few years ago, Greta and I were cleaning out a closet. And actually, this was when we were moving up here several years ago. There was a closet in my office that when we'd wrap gifts, sometimes we would stick them in there because we didn't want the kids to find them, right? Well, this had been in there for a couple of years, but there was a gift. And it was upsetting, the fact that these gifts were still in there. Because you know what? They were a gift that was meant to be given that didn't get given, right? They did not get to the right person. Jesus is that gift that wants to be given. And it's a shame to find him 2 years later after you've already done X, Y, or Z to your life. Maybe you missed an opportunity to accept him. And don't let that happen tonight. That light, those beacons, are guiding you. They're telling you where to go. They're telling you to come to Christ. I don't want you to leave today without being offered the greatest gift that you could receive this Christmas season. Not only that, but I would love for you to receive it. Don't miss it. Jesus was born into the world for all people, and that means you. He came to rescue you. He came to free you from your sin. He came to shine the light of hope, the light of peace, the light of joy, and the light of love into your life. Don't miss him. Receive him into your heart. John goes on to tell us why the gift of God in Jesus Christ must be opened. He tells us in verses 12 through 13, "Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or husband's will, but born of God." To those who receive Christ as the greatest gift of God, they are given the right. We all like rights, don't we? You are given the right to become a child of God. And this is different from children who are born to earthly fathers and mothers. They become the spiritual children of the divine. God becomes their father. And in love and mercy, he forgives them. He provides for them. He guides them. He protects them. If they are children of God, that means they are spiritual siblings of Jesus. Think about that. Jesus is my brother. He's your brother. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty close with my brothers and sisters. I know you all who are blessed to have that opportunity. Some are single children like my wife. And so guess what? You have to adopt. And so when you marry into a family or some other way, you get brothers and sisters that way. But it's important. He provides for you. He's going to give you an inheritance. And that means that we're going to inherit the same as Jesus does from our Father God. What are we going to inherit? Communion with him. Relationship with him. We have the opportunity to inherit that resurrected body of Jesus Christ. We have the opportunity to inherit that permanent home, eternal home that God prepared for us. And we inherit joy unspeakable. And so this Christmas, don't miss the light that come into the world. Don't miss Jesus. He's come to offer us a fullness of life. But if we have to receive him into our hearts, God longs to dwell there. He came in the flesh. He was born of a human woman to have the opportunity to be with each of you and me. And so this last verse that's in this passage, it speaks to this in verse 14. It says this. It says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. There's something important to notice in this verse. Jesus is called something here besides light. He is referred to as the Word. Notice it's capitalized in most Bibles. It's capitalized because Jesus is the Word, because he is the fulfillment of all that is written about him. All the prophetic promises of Isaiah, all of the prophetic promises of all the prophets are made true in him. We get to see God's Word in the flesh, all of the answers in the flesh. We see all the glory of God in one man. And if you want to know what God looks like, you don't have to look any further than the incarnation, because Jesus is the perfect representation of God. And he came full of grace and truth. And we get to see a little bit of that. You know, we just had a baby born into our church family, Lacey and Ethan Shawley, and their beautiful baby. I got to see a picture of her today. And just imagine what Jesus looked like. Just a little, you know, a little vulnerable baby. The glory of God. He meets us with such grace. He reminds us that we are loved for who we are and not who we should be, because we all could be better people. Jesus meets us with truth. He tells us that we can be more than we are right now. The truth of Jesus reveals the sin in our hearts, and the grace of Jesus removes it. As he shines into our lives, he makes us new. The beauty of Christmas is not what that Jesus shines into us, but that he shines through us. It's easy to be overwhelmed by the pain and suffering of the world. The key, though, is believing that Jesus can help you spread the light of hope. Sometimes we don't even realize the kind of hope, peace, joy, and love we are giving the world by light as we shine as a follower of Jesus Christ. When we love others, when we serve others, when we encourage others, when we live our lives like Jesus, the world will notice. And they too will say, "We love your light." So as we close our service tonight, we're going to sing the old Christmas favorite, Silent Night, Holy Night. And as you entered the service tonight, or hopefully in your home somewhere, you have a candle or some source of light. As we sing this closing hymn together, I would ask and will invite you to light that candle and hold it high into the air. I want you to look around at all the light that is shining around you in your family living room or in our sanctuary. There's light all around. And though one light in the world may seem like it does not have the power to light up all the darkness, when each of us are filled with the Holy Spirit, when each of us are filled with the light of Christ, the light becomes powerful. Amen?
Amen.
Let us pray. Incarnate Christ, we pray that you would turn our hearts towards you on this Christmas Eve. Let us not get caught up in the hustle and the bustle of this season and miss out on the promised gifts of hope, of peace, of joy, of love that you sent us on that first Christmas. We light these candles tonight. May they be a reminder to us that we are the very light of the Christ into this world. Thank you, God, for your immeasurable gift. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Let's stand and sing Silent Night, Holy Night. We'll sing all the verses, and then we'll sing a cappella, the first verse again after we play through it. Let us sing. Sunday morning at 10:15 online, and we'll be looking forward to sharing God's word with you. But go in peace and remember the reason for the season, Jesus Christ.